saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongue and nations. And all that dwelt upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again thanking you again for the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you tonight again for the privilege of preaching. And Father, I certainly ask you, Lord, help us to be a blessing to this people as we study the Bible, the Word of God, together. Father, we're thankful you left your Word for us. Lord, we know it's true. Lord, it's absolute. Everything you say in it, Father, is true. We just need to know how to discern it. We ask you for the Holy Spirit of God's help, Lord, as he opens our hearts to the truth of your Word. And so tonight, once again, let us honor you, Lord, as we study and preach the Bible, the Word of God. And again, for the Master's Clubs, we pray and ask you to help them in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 1, the Bible says that there's a beast rises up out of the sea, and he had 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, upon his heads the name of blasphemy. There's no doubt what family this beast comes from. He has the same characteristics, the same look as his father. If you remember over in chapter 12, verse number 3, I believe it was, yes, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. There's no doubt about who this beast is from. He looks just like his daddy looks. And his daddy's the one that gives him his power and sets him in his place. And of course, we know that's Satan. And he has the same characteristics as Satan. Over in chapter 13, verse number 11, he said, "And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." This is the second beast that we will study somewhere here in the future. And he also has the characteristics. He acts and talks just like his daddy, the dragon, O Satan. If you will look in verse number 14, "And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast." In other words, you notice in verse 14, the first part of it talks about he deceived them. Satan, the Bible tells us, is the great deceiver. And we find that the false prophet here is a deceiver. Again, there's no doubt about who he takes after. He takes out of the family of Satan, and Satan is the one that gives him his power. He has the same hatred that Satan has for God and God's people. If you'll notice in chapter 12, we studied that, but chapter 12, verse 13, he said, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent." In other words, you'll notice in verse number 1, it talks about the dragon, and she hates the woman. If you'll notice, remember, as we study this, the woman is representative here of Israel. She hates God's people. If you'll notice down in verse number 17, he says, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." So once again, here Satan has a great hatred for God and his people. A terrible, terrible, wicked hatred. If you'll notice in chapter 13, in verse number 5, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And this is the Antichrist. This is that beast that we saw in verse number 1. And he said he opened his mouth, in verse 6, he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." There's no doubt that, and not only does he come out of the same family here, but he has the same hatred for God and for God's people. A terrible hatred. This beast is going to hate Israel, and he's also going to hate any saint of God. Do anything he can, and he will destroy many, many, many of them. So he has a great hatred here. Now, I want to go back to the book of Matthew for just a few moments as we get some introductory thoughts here. In the book of Matthew, the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew. In verse number 8 of Matthew 4, he says, "Again the devil taketh him up into exceedingly high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and said unto him, All of these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." The very thing that he offered the Lord Jesus Christ, in other words, he offered him all the kingdoms of the world. The very thing that he offered them, he finally found a man who would accept them. And that's this beast that we're studying. That's the Antichrist. He wanted to rule, and so he accepted the offer of Satan to let Satan absolutely rule through him and be everything that Satan wanted him to do. Our Lord, thank God, did not do that. He absolutely rebuked him with the word of God and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." So I say to you again, he finally has found someone, though, that will do what he wants to be done. What is the object of Satan's desire? If you'll notice, when he said to the Lord Jesus Christ, what was it he wanted Jesus to do? Fall down and worship him. The desire of Satan is to have the creation of God to fall down and worship him. That is what he wants. That's his desire. If you'll look back then, if you have your place in Revelation, verse number 4, he says, "And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Once again, you'll notice that he now has what he's wanted all along. He wants worship. He wants even God's people to give more time to him than we give to God. He wants God's people to put his program ahead of God's program. That is exactly what he wants, and he loves it when that happens. And let me say to you, in America today, we've got to be very careful, because that is what is happening. And Satan loves it. See, he hates God, he hates God's people, he hates the program of God. And he wants God's people, he wants the earth, the whole world, all of humanity to worship him. God's people are not going to worship him, but he'll steal their time. He'll steal their hearts. Understand what I'm saying? This is what he's desired. Now, I'm going to go back for just a moment. You do not have to turn back here if you don't wish to, but I'm going to go back to Daniel, the third chapter, and read to you just a few verses. If you'd like to just listen, we studied this. We spent quite a bit of time going through Daniel. But listen to verse number 1 of chapter 3. He said, "Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and a breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon." You remember, he set up an image. You remember that. We studied that. Now I'm going to read verse 4 and verse number 5. "Then a herald cried aloud, To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up." Even back then, the whole purpose was to get God's creation to fall down and worship Satan's creation. I'm saying to you again, his desire is to have God's creation worship him. Over in the book of Isaiah, the 14th chapter of Isaiah. We'll read verse number 12 through verse number 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And I will be like the Most High. Now, you and I must keep in our hearts, we got to have an understanding of what Satan desires and what he wants. He wants to be like the Most High, and the Most High is the one that's worshipped. When we come to church, when we worship, who do we worship? We worship God. Satan wants that worship. When we serve, who do we serve? Well, we serve the true and living God. But Satan wants that service. He wants to steal the service that we would give to God, and he wants Satan to have it. And to steal it is his desire. So remember that in your Christian life. You remember that Satan's desire, the whole purpose, as we've read these verses of Scripture, the object of what he wants is to receive the worship of God's creation. Every single person on the face of the earth, he has desired to have fall down before him and worship him. Now, in verse number 2, going back to Revelation, in verse number 2, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leper, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. Now, you remember, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that because we've covered this in Daniel. But what he's doing is he's going back and looking at these kingdoms, Gentile kingdoms, these four that's going to rise up on the earth. And he says this Antichrist is going to be an accumulated wickedness of all of the past kingdoms. He's going to have every characteristic of wickedness that all of those had. And he's going to be even worse than that. When you read the Scripture, the Bible says that the fourth kingdom is diverse from every other kingdom. And this beast that it talks about back in Daniel is diverse. He's different than any other beast. He's the Antichrist. He's the ending of all of this, of what Satan has been trying to do all down through ever since the Garden of Eden. So he's doing everything he can to get men to worship him. Now, the last part of verse number 2, he says, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now, there's no doubt about, you have to understand that the old dragon, Satan, has the one that has set him up. I told you, I think I mentioned one time in one of our messages, it may have been when we were still in Daniel, I don't remember. But we mentioned the fact that I believe with all my heart that America is going to be involved in this. I believe if she is still present, I believe her power will be turned over to the Antichrist. It is Satan who is going to give him power to rule. We know also, of course, these 10 kingdoms, these 10 horns, are also going to give him their power. And he's going to have their power. You see, he has to have a very large and powerful military unit. And he's going to be a powerful military man. And he's going to get that from the kingdoms who he's going to rule over. It's going to be a power that you won't be able to stand up against, or at least seemingly won't be able to stand up against. So we know that Satan gave him his power. He gave him his seat, wherever that seat is, the place of his authority. As he said there, the great authority, he gave him that. Satan hands it over to him, and he is the one that's going to rule, as we'll find out a little later. He's going to rule the world. And he's a wicked, wicked, wicked power coming from Satan, and that's where he's going to get his power, and he's going to rule. Now, that's going to happen in the tribulation period. Amen. That's what is coming after the rapture. Amen. Now, is that why we want to get folks saved? Well, that's certainly one of the reasons. Main reason is because God loves them. We just want to get them saved. But I want to tell you something. This is going to be horrible, horrible, wicked time. We've got to understand. We've got to get as many saved as we can get saved so they won't have to go through this horrible time. You see, we've just got to do everything that we can do. Now, in verse number 3, he says, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. A thought came to me this week, and I just want to share it with you. When you get into all of these particulars, sometimes we do not know how all of these things are going to take place. Impossible. But we do know they're going to take place. What I just read to you is absolutely going to take place. He's going to have a deadly wound that's going to be healed. Amen? Because the Bible says so. Now, we also know that probably speaks of not just an individual, which we know it does speak of an individual, but it probably speaks also of the Roman Empire that seemingly was dead and has been raised up again. No doubt about that. But it's also an individual. And we're seeing here something, and I got to thinking. I wondered if it's a possibility. I don't know. I wondered, because this beast is involved. In fact, he's the one that causes the two witnesses to be killed. I wondered, is it possible that the two witnesses may have delivered that deadly blow to him? I don't know. I wondered about that. And that he then raises up from that deadly blow, and if you'll notice, I want you to listen, because he says, and I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death. You see, I told you, I think a week or two ago, I told you, there's just something within me that has trouble, and whatever God does is absolutely right, okay? You understand that? I know that. Whatever God does is perfect, and how he does it is all right with me. And he'll do it whether it's all right with me anyway. But I'm just saying, and that's what I want him to do. I just want God to be who he is, and I want him to do whatever. Amen? But to Satan to have power to raise up a life and give a life, resurrected life, I don't think he's got that power. I think God only has power. You understand what I'm saying? And I just believe that. So I think it's more, personally, I think it's more as though he were dead. And let me say to you, it's going to be an amazing feat, as we're going to find out. It's going to be something that's going to shake the whole world. But I wondered as he rises up and kills the two witnesses, as you remember over in chapter 11, it says in verse 6, he says, these have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and to have power over waters, to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they have finished their testimony, and that's something we can never forget. You remember something. They can't even touch these two witnesses until God's finished with them. Now that's important you remember that. Because they could do nothing with God's witnesses until he is done. And it says, when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. So I'm saying to you, I don't know. Was it the witnesses maybe that dealt that blow? I don't really know. But it's a possibility. Because the reason that I got to thinking about that was this. And it could be that it was after this that he was supposedly raised from the dead. Because now what I'm saying is this. In chapter 11, when these two witnesses died, and all at once they begin to just rise up. Now that's God doing that. He just raised them from the dead, and they begin to rise. The Bible says fear came upon them. All of those that saw it, the Bible says that fear came upon them. And so what I'm saying is this. Something has to override that. And so seemingly what is happening is here is the Antichrist, whether it was at this point, and I think it's going to be awful close to this point because we're in the middle of the tribulation period. But something is going to have to override that fear about those two witnesses rising from the dead. He's going to perform a like miracle. Supposedly, he also is going to raise from the dead. And so because of that, the people will look and say, well, look at the Antichrist. He raised from the dead also. He's greater than God. He's killed those witnesses anyway. Now, yes, they rose up, but here's the Antichrist, and here he is raising from the dead. And so it's very possible one of those things may have been the witnesses involved in this. If it wasn't the witnesses involved in it, it was soon after this happened to get their minds off of what happened to these witnesses and the raising of the dead of these witnesses, and they begin to then stand in awe at the Antichrist, as we will just read here in just a few moments. Because what it does, it causes the whole world, and listen to that, in verse 3. And all of the world, the end of the whole, all of the world wondered after this beast. Now that's going to be some miracle. And I don't know how that's all going to come to pass, but it's just not going to be one of them near-death experiences that he gets up and talks about. Something is going to shake the whole world where they're going to believe this man rose from the dead. And it's going to go over all the world. And the whole world, the Bible says, is amazed at him. And because of that miracle, and just think about it. The miracle of Jesus Christ was he rose from the dead. And the whole world paid little attention. Even today, they pay little attention to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And yet in this day, the whole world is going to be astonished and amazed at the raising of this, supposedly this Antichrist. It's going to be amazed. Amen. He's an imitator. What he does is he tries to imitate what the Lord has already done. Let me just give you a few things in which he's imitated it. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He was saying all power has been turned over to me by God the Father. Now you see him imitating that when he, Satan, gives all power to his man, the beast. He's an imitator. He gets his power. Jesus got his power from God the Father. And now the Antichrist gets his power from his father, which is old Satan. We find out also that he's an imitation. We've already talked about that, but we've talked about how he imitates the resurrection. And here again, supposedly he rose from the dead. His imitation, I think he's as false as a $3 bill. He's false. He's nothing like our Lord is. He's horrible. He's wicked, but he's not our Lord. And he's not like him. If you notice over in Revelation, the 5th chapter, let's look at what it says about the Lamb of God in 5th chapter of the book of Revelation, 6th verse. It says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits. If you notice here, the lamb had seven horns. And if you'll notice, the Antichrist tries to duplicate these things and look like it. Over in the Antichrist in chapter 13, verse 1, it says he had 10 horns. He tries to imitate. If you notice also in chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, verse number 12, he says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True and Righteous. He doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Look at verse number 16. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you notice, he had in verse number 12, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Had a name written there. He was identified. He had the exalted names given unto him. Now look at Antichrist and see what he done over in chapter 13, verse number 1. He says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, upon his heads the name of blasphemy. See, imitation, but just the opposite. God gave, the Lord Jesus had names that was exalted names, godly exalted names. Antichrist had names of blasphemy on his heads. Now if you notice also, and just in passing, I might make mention something. In verse number 5, he said in chapter 13, verse number 5, there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. I want you to just to keep in mind something. His kingdom is limited to 3.5 years. And our Lord's kingdom is forever. Shall never, ever end. But he tries to duplicate. He tries to imitate, you see. That's why it's so deceiving that we, even in America today, there's so many people being deceived. We've talked before about the miracles, supposedly miracles that people are doing and these weird things that's going on, and people are deceived by those things. Boy, don't be deceived by those things. Amen. We have a Lord that can do anything. And in time, he will do anything that needs to be done. Now, over in chapter 13, verse number 4, he says, "And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Now, you notice again, he's got what he wanted. He's got the popularity he wanted. He's got people worshiping him. That's exactly what he wanted. And let me say this to you. To worship the beast is the same as to worship Satan, because he is the one who's give all the power to the beast. It's like for me and you, when we worship the Lord Jesus, there's nothing wrong with that because he's God. We worship him. It's the same as worshiping our God the Father. It's all right with him, if we worship Jesus, because he is God. Holy Spirit is God. God the Father is God. They're the one true God. But here we find old Satan here, you see. If he worshiped the beast, he says he worshiped Satan and he worshiped the beast. If they worship the beast, it's the same thing as worshiping Satan, see. And anyway, they find that they're amazed at him. Look at verse number 4 at the end of it. It says, "Who is like unto the beast?" See, all of these things that's happened, that's why I'm saying this is going to be a miraculous miracle of some kind, that the people are going to be so deceived, and he's going to be so powerful. He's going to have great armies underneath him. He's going to have world leaders falling down at his feet, doing whatever he wants. And the people is going to say, "Who's like unto the beast? There's never been one like him." Boy, we should say that about Jesus. I wish the world would say that about Jesus right now. And then they'll say, Who can make war with him?" Well, it's impossible to make war with him. He's got all of this power. Look at his miracles that he does. How could anybody ever make war with the beast? It's going to be a wonder, you see. And then, and of course, let me say this. Russia will have already been destroyed. I'm not going to go back here, but Ezekiel, read Ezekiel chapter 38 and chapter 39. Russia has already met her Waterloo upon the hills of Israel. So what he's going to do is step into this vacuum, like he's going to step into this leadership power, and he's going to be the great power that's going to be able to, you know, get all of the leaders of the world underneath his domain, and they'll follow him. Russia is more of a great power now than we think. He's got those nuclear bombs over there, you know. Don't be fooled by all this. I mean, I know economically they're a mess, but they're going to come down against Israel. Amen. The Bible says so, don't it, Brother Bruce? We know these things, what's going to happen, because it's going to come down and because the Bible says so. Amen. And so they still got those nuclear bombs, and they've got all of these things. Economically, they're a mess, yes. And that's one of the reasons they're going to come down. If you look into chapter 38 and 39 of Ezekiel, that's why they're going to come down, to receive a spoil. You see, they're losing out, and they need money, and they need things, they need oil, and they need all these things. And so they're going to come down against Israel, you see. But they're going to be destroyed. The Bible says they are, you see. That's what they've got coming to them. Now, in verse number 5 of chapter 13, he says, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now, in this, I just want to look at four different things, and it all comes down to the fact that what he wants to do is he wants to be worshipped, okay? But what is his purpose? Look at his purpose here in verse number 5 and verse number 6, and I'll read it again. "There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven." You notice his purpose is to blaspheme and defy God Almighty. He is going to speak horrible things against God Almighty. He's going to have the world believing there is no God. There's no one greater than him. He is God, as he wants to set himself up in the tabernacle in Israel and proclaim himself to be God. And he's going to defy and blaspheme God, and he's going to have power to do that with a tongue, an oratory that has great ability, you see. And not only that, he says also the tabernacle of God. In other words, where God tabernacles. That word tabernacle speaks of the dwelling place of God, where God tabernacles. In other words, that's his place. That's God's place, heaven. And he makes fun of heaven. And he ridicules heaven. And also, you'll notice, he also says, and them that dwell in heaven, those that are tabernacle in heaven, he makes fun of them. In other words, you remember them nuts that used to be around here a few years ago? Huh? You remember that? You remember, oh, once they disappeared? Yeah, they think they're up in heaven. Are you kidding? There is no such place called heaven. God didn't help them. And he's going to spread that throughout all the world. Blaspheming God. Have a great mouth. Great ability. You want to be careful. Want to be careful. There's telemarketers out there now. That has the ability to just sell you about anything. I got a call a while ago. She said, can I speak to Mrs. Donna Ross? I said, are you a telemarketer? Hesitated and said, yes. And I said, I'm sorry, we're not interested. I hung up the phone. I don't know how you handle it. You may be kinder than I am. I didn't try to be unkind, but I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to try to sell me anything. If I want to buy something, I'll go to the store. Amen. I'll go look it over. Now you say, Brother Ross, we've got college students that's dependent on that telemarketing. And I think we've got some that's working for them, you know. That's all right. But if they call me, I'd do the same thing. Yes, I would. I don't pay attention to these telemarketers. But let me say to you, there's multitudes of people out there being deceived, not just by telemarketing. Now, all of it is not bad or wicked. Not all of it is. But many people is deceived by people who can just talk you into anything. See? Well, you've never heard a telemarketer till you heard old Satan and his man, the beast, you see. So he's going to blaspheme. He's going to blaspheme God, the true God. Now listen also in verse number 7. He says that it was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them, and power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. First of all, do you notice again, and this is important you get a hold of this, his desire is to blaspheme God and to hate the saints of God. I don't know. I mean, I do try, and you'll hear me mention quite a few times. I'll say, you know Satan hates you? He'd kill you. He'd kill me. He'd get rid of us. But the Holy Spirit of God is restraining evil. But let me say to you, that does not change his hatred for you and I. I say it over and over and over. You better understand. You better get a hold of it. You better understand how much Satan hates you. He wants to destroy you. He can't take your life, but he can destroy your testimony, and he'll do anything to do it. Now, you just mark it down. He's busy at it all the time. So we got to be so careful. Amen? Because he hates you. Despises you. Cares not what he does to get a hold of you and your testimony. Doesn't care how he does it. He hates the church. It's where the work of God is being done. And he hates the church. And he'll do anything he can to destroy the church. Amen. Don't let him use you. Because he will, if he can. Amen. Sure he will. Don't let him do it. So he blasphemes God, defies God. He destroys the saints of God. And then if you'll notice, he comes to the place where he controls, he rules the nations of the earth in verse 7, the end of it, and power was given to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now I realize this is going to be a short-lived thing. He's not going to have power over all of these for very long, but he is going to be a world ruler. In fact, for the first time, he is going to be a ruler who's going to have control and power over all of the world. Now, we had other rulers, we had all these other kingdoms, but they're not going to have control like he is going to have control over all the world. And then we find in verse number 8, he says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Once again, what's his real purpose? All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. That's what he wants. Folks, listen to me. Be very careful what you give of your life. Be very careful how much you turn over to this world system. where God has nothing to do with it and doesn't honor and glorify God whatsoever. You have to live in this system. You have to work within this system, but you don't have to be of this system. That's why the preacher preaches constantly. Watch it. You'll spend all your time picking up straw to make bricks with for Pharaoh's cities. Instead of taking building blocks and building God's kingdom. And Satan loves it. If he can just keep God's people busy picking up straw, he's a happy, happy Satan. So he wanted the worship. And then, thank God, that was entered in there where it says, whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He said, yes, they will worship him, but not my people won't. My people won't. See, those that are sealed of God, that belongs to the Lord, will not worship him. Now, he's talking to a tribulation crowd, folks. He's talking to those who's going to become born again through the tribulation period. And they're going to have to give up their whole life. In fact, we'll just do it real quickly. If any man have an ear, let him hear, he says. And he's talking to the tribulation crowd. He's not talking to the church. Now, the message is for the church. But who he's literally talking to here is the tribulation crowd. He says, if you've got an ear, you better listen. And here's what he says. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. In other words, he said, all of God is saying, if you look back in chapter 10, it talked about the plan of God, the finished plan of God being completed. All of this has to happen. And the tribulation saints has got to remember, those that are now leading into captivity will also go into captivity. Those who are killing with the sword will also be killed with a sword. But it's going to take patience and faith to just go through this. Just in other words, hang on, trust me, because my plan has to be finished. And multitudes are going to die for their faith. Let me show you one verse of Scripture, chapter 20. Verse 4. And I saw thrones, they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This is the tribulation saints. All right? Did you notice what it says? Were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. They give their life because they believed in Jesus Christ. Now that's going to take place. Multitudes and multitudes go to give their life simply because they believe in Jesus Christ. We're a blessed people. Amen. And our lives are not even really in danger when you think about it. Like that. And yet we have trouble serving God and witnessing for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, thank you for the blessed book, truths of your word, and ask you, God, to just help us to love you as we should love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.